إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، all praise is due to Allah. We ask Allah to exalt and mention and grant peace of Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. We ask Allah's forgiveness and we seek Allah's assistance and we seek refuge with Allah from our evil souls and our bad deeds. Verily, whomever Allah guides to Islam, no one can lead astray, and whomever Allah allows to go astray because they do not want any guidance, then no one can guide. Brothers and sisters in Islam, continuing with the book Kashf al-Shubuhat fi al-Tawheed, dealing with the misconception among some of the so-called Muslims when it comes to the worshipping of the dead, particularly at the grave sites, and the thought that this is a means of intercession and that it is not actually a form of shirk, similar or according to what we learned last, even more severe than the shirk of the Quraysh at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the last week, in our last week, we discussed actually the ayat from the Book of Allah, particularly Surah An-Nisa, verses 150 and 151, where Allah ta'ala declared disbelief upon anyone who makes a distinction in the matters of faith. And Allah said that those who want to believe in some of the messengers of Allah and disbelieve in others and they want to take a path, these are أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ حَقًّا. These are the disbelievers in truth. So you cannot believe in the angels and not believe in the books, or believe in the rububiyyah of Allah and not believe in the uluhiyyah. You cannot accept one aspect of Iman and disregard the other. Upon doing so, you no longer have Iman. You lose Iman in totality. Tonight, the discussion is very interesting actually. The Shaykh rahimahullah said, وَيُقَالُ أَيْضًا إِذَا كُنْتَ تُقِرَّ أَنَّ مَنْ صَدَّقَ الرَّسُولَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِذَا كُنْتَ تُقِرَّ أَنَّ مَنْ صَدَّقَ الرَّسُولَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَجَحَدَ وُجُوبَ الصَّلَاةِ فَهُوَ كَافِرٌ حَلَالُ الدَّمِ وَالْمَالِ بِالْإِجْمَاعِ وَكَذَلِكَ إِذَا أَقَرَّ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا الْبَعْثَ وَكَذَلِكَ إِذَا جَحَدَ وُجُوبَ صَوْمِ رَمَضَانَ وَصَدَّقَ بِذَلِكَ كُلِّهِ وَلَا تَخْتَلِفُ الْمَذَاهِبُ فِيهِ وَقَدْ نَطَقَ بِهِ الْقُرْآنُ كَمَا تَقَدَّمْنَا. The Shaykh said you can also say to refute this person after quoting the ayah from the Quran that you cannot make a distinction. You cannot believe in something and disbelieve in another thing, otherwise you are a disbeliever. The other thing you may say is you tell him, do you affirm that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you believe in what he brought, okay, you believe in him alayhi salatu wasalam, in everything, and but you say salah is not fard, okay, this five daily prayers, the Isha that you pray, is not a fariḍa, it's not obligatory. Okay, upon some, and we know from the Quran and from the Sunnah that the Salah, as the Salawat al-Khams, is Faridah or no? Faridah, from the Fara'id. If someone was to go against the statement of Allah in the Quran and the statement of the Prophet Muhammad, would he disbelieve or not? He would disbelieve. And his blood and his wealth become lawful according to the consensus. Consensus means the acceptance and the agreement of all of the Muslims. Actually, furthermore, if he was to acknowledge everything in the deen but deny resurrection, say, I don't believe in resurrection, or he was to accept everything and deny fasting in Ramadan, and so on and so forth. All of the madahib, the four madahib, all of them agree that this person is a kafir. If he claims that he believed in what the Prophet Muhammad brought from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he denies any aspect of the deen that is known to be obligatory, he says this is not obligatory, according to all of the madhahib, this person is a disbeliever. He cannot be considered among the Muslims anymore. And this has been established in the Quran, in Surah An-Nisa, verse 151-51, which is the one we quoted last week. Maybe some people memorized it, maybe some people didn't. المهم فمعلوم أن التوحيد هو أعظم فريضة جاء بها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو أعظم من الصلاة والزكاة والصوم والحج. It is known to each and every one of us that tawheed is the greatest obligation that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم gave to us. It is more greater, it's greater than salah and zakah and saum and hajj. Because these four are built on tawheed. If you're a Hindu and you go to do hajj, a Hindu goes for hajj and he does tawaf, he does sa'i, he goes, you know, he does the whole thing. Can we say that this person hasn't accepted? If anybody thinks so, then you gotta change your mind. Yeah? Maybe you have a misconception. If we brought a Christian to the masjid, say, come pray with us, you know, come see how the Muslims pray. And he prayed, and he believes that Jesus is Allah. Will Allah accept his deed, his salah? Common sense. All of the ulama agree that the condition for salah, condition for hajj, condition for zakah is Muslim, Islam. You must be a Muslim first. And how do you become a Muslim? How does one become a Muslim? Who can answer me? Ma? Kalima. What is the kalima? The shahada. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. I testify and bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah. That's tawheed. That's exactly what it is. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then bearing witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, is the one who Allah gave him tawheed, and he gave us tawheed, he conveyed tawheed, he lived tawheed, he taught tawheed, and you cannot be a muwahid if you don't follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Otherwise your tawheed is also negated, like the Jews. So then the idea, you cannot become a Muslim unless you know the tawheed. So you don't say, I bear witness that I will establish five daily prayers and I will pay zakah. You don't become Muslim by saying that. You must first enter into Islam with the first pillar of Islam, right? Ash-shahada. Aw shahadatayn. Depending on whether you want to count it as one or count it as two. Irrespective, that's the key to Islam. So then we agree that that is more important than salah and zakah and sawm. Because if you're a non-Muslim, then these acts of worship will be of no benefit for the doer. Unless tawheed is there. So everybody agrees, alhamdulillah. طيب. The Shaykh said, فكيف إذا جحد الإنسان شيئا من هذه الأمور كفر. Then how is it that if someone denied any of these, sawm, salah, zakah, hajj, is kufr. We consider this to be kufr. You cannot. You don't have the right to say salah is not obligatory. ولو عمل بكل ما جاء به الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. Even if he did everything else that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم did. When he wanted to put on his shoes, he put on the right one first. He put on his coat or his shirt or his pants. He begins with the right one. He eats with his right hand. But you tell him salah is not salah, not a wajib. You don't have to do salah. Some Sufis, by the way, they believe so. They think they've reached such a level of iman, they don't need to pray anymore. They've attained iman and yaqeen. So then, if somebody told you that, he's no longer a Muslim. So the act of putting the right, you know, using the right first, which is the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad that many have abandoned today, as we mentioned before, you will hardly ever find a Muslim leave this masjid with the left foot first, which is the sunnah, and put on his right shoe first. It's rare. Out of every 10, maybe 2, maximum. And we hope that it is not by mistake, that it just happens to be the right one in front of him, so he put it on, not with the niyyah of following the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Although we should all, each and everyone, if 10 of us leave the masjid, all 10 should leave with the right, left foot first, exit the masjid to the left, enter with the right. And when you put on your shoes, you should put the right one first, as ibadah, not ada, not as a habit, not whatever is convenient, as an act of worship, by putting on your shoes, na'am. Because Allah says in the Quran, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Say, if you really love Allah, follow me. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah will love you. So Allah made love conditional to the act of worship of the Prophet Muhammad. sunnah and you're gaining reward. Still, many people, you know, may not hear, but inshallah everybody here is knowledgeable enough and is intelligent enough to take advantage of this life, accumulate these good deeds, you know, little good deeds here and there. Perhaps Allah will forgive some of our sins and pardon us for our shortcomings and permit us to Jannah. So don't miss in any good deed, even if it is something as simple as how to put on your shoes or your pants or your shirt and so on and so forth. But so anyways, so if someone was to deny any of the obligatory acts of Islam, even if he supposedly accepted everything from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he's a kafir. وَإِذَا جَحَدَ تَوْحِيدَ الَّذِي هُوَ دِينُ الرُّسُلُ كُلُّهُمْ لَا يَكْفُرُ. But if he denies tawheed, which is the message of all the messengers, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِن قَبْلِكَ مِن رَّسُولٍ إِلَّا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاعْبُدُونِ. Allah said that we have not sent a messenger before you, except that we inspired them to say there is no God worthy of worship but me, but I, so worship me. Every Rasul, Lut, Ibrahim, Nuh, alayhi salatu wasalam, each and everyone, Shu'aib, they gave the same message. Ya qawm, i'budullah, ma lakum min ilahin ghayru. My people, worship Allah. You have no other God worthy of worship besides Him. Then they told them, don't trick the people, don't lie, don't commit adultery, and they forbade them to turn the other sins that they had. But the first thing that they called them to is the worship of Allah and avoiding al-tahut, al-tawagheed, which is any false god. So this is the message. So if someone's going to say, I believe in salah, and sawm, and hajj, and zakah, but then he denies the very tawheed, which is the most fundamental part of Islam, and the very point of unity between the Prophet Muhammad and every messenger that came before him. He is not a kafir. They say that he is not a kafir. Subhanallah. Subhanallah, ma a'azabana al-jahl. They said, Subhanallah, yani high above is Allah, any imperfection. How amazing is this ignorance? This is ignorance. For someone to say that you can deny tawheed, but because you're doing salah and siyam, then you are considered to be a Muslim. Whereas they would agree with you, if you deny salah, you're no longer a Muslim. So how do they accept the branch, huh? And they don't accept the root? The root is tawheed, salah is the branch. So they say, if you leave alone salah, you're a kafir. But if you leave alone the root, the source of nurturing and sustenance, so there's no mani mushkila. So we worship the grave, we worship Abd al-Qadir, we worship Shamsan, we worship these individuals, and you know, don't call us kuffar. You cannot consider us to be kuffar, because we believe in salah and siyam and so on and so forth. Allah understand. There's four reputations, by the way. Here's the next one. وَيُقَالُ أَيْضًا هَؤُلَاءِ أَصْحَابُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَاتَلُوا بَنِي حَنِيفَةَ وَقَدْ أَسْلَمُوا مَعَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَهُمْ يَشْهَدُونَ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَيُصَلُّونَ وَيُؤَذِّنُونَ. Now here another historical authentic incident is that the companions of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم fought against Banu Hanifa. Banu Hanifa have nothing to do with Imam Abu Hanifa رحمه الله تعالى. So don't think anything weird. Imam Abu Hanifa رحمه الله is a ulama, alim from the ulama of this God, of the Muslims, which every Muslim should love, honor, and respect, because his goal was like that of Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad, Imam Shafi'i, and others, that did not become as famous like Imam Thawri, Al-Uza'i, and others. Anyways, they all had one goal, which is for me and you to follow the Sunnah. Nothing else. So you don't follow them against the Sunnah, because they did not want you to follow them versus the Sunnah. So if they made a mistake, which they did, can anyone say that Imam Shafi'i never made a mistake? No. Is it possible that he's infallible? He's ma'sum? Is it possible Imam Malik never made a mistake in his ijtihad? Then is it possible that Imam Ahmad never made a mistake? Is it possible that Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah never made a mistake? It's impossible. They must have made a mistake. Not because they're human beings. They're not getting revelation from Allah. So we don't follow them on their mistakes. Not that we're saying that he's a no good man because he made a mistake. Subhanallah. The Prophet said, the hakim, the judge, the one who's a mufti, your knowledge, if he exerts knowledge to make the ruling, to come up with the ruling, and he gets it right, he will get two rewards. And if he gets it wrong, he will get one reward. The Prophet ﷺ told us that they will get it wrong, and Allah will reward them for their niyyah. But my job and yours, you don't follow him Because now you have the Prophet ﷺ said, or he did, this is your job, to follow him. So some Muslims have a misconception about that, where they become very sensitive and they think that you're attacking the Imam, but you're not doing so. Rather, you just try to invite them to the Sunnah. Now some people don't know how to do that. Maybe you've seen some examples in the masjid of some individuals. I'm not trying to do this to backbite, because I'm not going to mention anyone in particular, but I know you know what I'm talking about, and I'm saying this because you must know how the deen of Allah works. And not everybody is a good representative of the deen of Islam and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so we know there are ways of advising people. When you want to advise someone, you have to follow the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which Allah told in the Quran, "Wa kunta faddan ghaliz al-qalbi lam faddu min hawlik." If you were rough and hard-hearted, you were difficult, people will run away from you. They don't want the nasiha anymore. So that you must follow the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, otherwise it would backfire. The people are not going to want the nasiha, and you will gain sin as opposed to gaining reward. So any one of us, ya akhwan, who wishes to advise someone, if he believes he's doing something wrong, and maybe the person is following a valid position, a valid madhab, which according to the ulama, you don't have the right to impose yours upon him. If you think that, you know, your opinion is correct based on the hadith, and you advise someone who is not ignorant, but he's following another imam, you have no right to force him to follow your way. He believes he's worshipping Allah like this. So we must be knowledgeable of what's going on. We should study the situation, find out, does this brother know? Is he following an opinion or is he ignorant? If he's ignorant, then you try to deliver the message in the nicest way possible. Where you are, you follow it, and if you read this, the biography, if you read the seerah of the Prophet, it will become clear to you how to deal with it. A man came in the masjid and urinated. Urine. Yani what you do in the bathroom, in the corner of the masjid, a Bedouin doesn't know any better. Ignorant. Ignorant. The Sahaba were about to get up and teach him a lesson. This is the masjid of the masjid. You're urinating here? Of course you know, especially Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, Allah. Tough man. The Prophet said, what did he do? He said, da'u, leave him. When the man finished, he went and spoke to him. He didn't tell him, you ignorant, you know, crazy person, what is the matter with you coming to the house of Allah, are you urinating here? He said, this masjid was built for salah, recitation of the Quran. It's not a place for this kind of business. That's all he did, alayhi salatu wasalam. In the nicest way, the man was ignorant, he was educated. What would we do if someone urinated in the masjid today? We would probably throw him out the window, man. Maybe not even make it to the door, right? We will shove him in the AC. So he would freeze to death over here. We're doing this. Well, of course we may get a little more excited than the Prophet ﷺ. But in essence, look at the extent of the crime, urinating in the masjid. And the Prophet ﷺ had to deal with the man based on ignorance. He was ignorant, so he taught them accordingly. And so if you ever want to advise someone, make sure you, either you know how to advise, or you keep quiet. If you don't know how to advise, if you get it, make more munkar. With the ma'ruf, if you're trying to enjoin, then the ulama say it's not allowed for you to enjoin the good or forbid the evil. If you're going to make more problems, then leave that business alone. Because we don't want more problems. We want to reduce the problems. We already have plenty of problems, right or wrong. So we don't need anything more, not in the masjid and not outside. Allah musta'an, yani. And this gives a bad image for certain people who may be from a particular background or have a particular appearance. And so the people unfortunately associate this with that, and they put everybody like that on the X list. They say, anybody like this, khalli wali. That's not fair though. That's not fair. We should judge individuals based on their individuality, not on the race that they represent or the country that they represent or the anything of this nature. Because people are different. Every country, every group of people, every masjid, you see, you know, the good apples and the bad apples. I'm sure everybody here, I know, knows what I'm talking about. So inshallah, we will put that into practice. طيب. So then, Bani Hanifa, that was not Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah. It was those who accepted Musaylama. Remember that liar who claimed to be a prophet? The Shaykh said they accepted Islam with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they bore witness, the Sahaba fought against them after they accepted Islam. With
Messenger of Allah, pay attention, they declare the shahada of La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. They were used to pray and go here and there. They did everything that the Muslims do outwardly. فَإِنْ قَالَ إِنَّهُمْ يَقُولُونَ إِنَّ مُسَيْلَمَ نَبِيٍ. He will tell you, the one who worships the grave, yeah, but they used to say that Musaylama is a prophet. Ironically, his name is Musaylama what? Does anyone know his full name?
No.
Musaylama al-Kazzab, subhanAllah. Look how Allah humiliated him. His name is Musaylama the liar. Kazzab is the liar. See, when somebody lies on a matter of deen, until today when somebody says his name, he has to say Musaylama al-Kazzab. Musaylama the liar. And as Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَكْثَرُ. Verily, the one who hates you, who goes against you, he's the one who will be cut off. He will be disgraced, humiliated, and this is how he will lead his life. So طيب. So the guy will tell you, but they believe that Musaylama was a Nabi. قُلْنَا هَذَا هُوَ الْمَطْلُوبُ. This is exactly what we're saying. The fact that they declare the shahada, and they pray, and they fasted, and everything, but they simply believe that Musaylama was a prophet. Now, is it possible that a prophet will come after the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? No. What's the evidence for that? خاتم النبي. It's in the Quran. ما كان محمد أبا أحد من رجالكم ولكن رسول الله وخاتم النبي. Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was not the father of any of you men. Rather, he was the messenger of Allah and the seal of all prophets. خاتم. يعني you seal it, meaning you don't open it anymore. خلاص. There will be no one after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if someone then after that says that there is a prophet, they believe the Musaylama, then what have they done? They have belied the Quran. The Quran says Khatam al-Nabiyyin, he's saying it's not Khatam al-Nabiyyin, there's another prophet after him. His salah, his siyam, his shahada is void. And to explain this in a practical example, how one may have the shahada, but how he may nullify it or make it void. I don't know if you have it in your country. I haven't seen it here. You know the coupons? A coupon is usually a special offer that they will send in the newspaper or the magazine, or they will have it in the front of the supermarket, like Danube or something like that. And it will say on it, buy one, get one free. Okay? It has a special offer, whatever it is, 20% discount, anything of this nature. But these coupons always have an expiration date. It says on the bottom, valid until January 5, 2009. But now this coupon is supposed to be effective with the expiration date. Now, let's say, hypothetically speaking, that the expiration date of the coupon was January 5th. And here you are, you got the coupon too late. You go to the market on January 7th, and you buy all your stuff, and you go to the cashier, you're happy, say, you're waiting for this big 50% discount. He says, oh no, I'm sorry, this is expired. Say, but it says here 50% discount. Say, listen my friend, I know that it says 50% discount, but also it says that there's an expiration date, and that date is expired. You are 7th January today, I cannot give you this coupon. Now, someone bought the same things that you bought, and he didn't have a coupon. How much will you pay? The same amount? Same amount. You have a coupon, but it's void. He doesn't have a coupon, same thing. So then we say the shahada of La ilaha illallah is a coupon. And there are things that are equal to the expiration date. If you play around with them, then your coupon, although you're saying it, you have it, he has it in his hand, saying this is a coupon. And the person say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, that shahada is void the same way the expiration date voided the coupon. Is that clear? So not anyone who says Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah can be considered. If someone says that in front of you, you would believe he's a Muslim ala tul. We're not saying that you doubt someone who embraces Islam, say you're a liar, you're a hypocrite. No. You accept him outwardly. We will see some examples. But afterwards, if you see him Allah worshipping Buddha, after he gives you the shahada, say, Ma'alaysh, you're not a Muslim. Your shahada, although you said, and you may continue to say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, that act of worship, of worshipping Buddha, has أن رفع رجلا إلى رتبة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم دفر وحل ماله ودمه ولم تنفعه شهادتان وحل ماله ودمه ولم تنفعه شهادتان ولا صلاة فكيف بمن رفع شمسان أو يوسف أو صحابيا أو نبيا في مرتبة جبار السماوات والأرض. عجيب. The Shaykh said, if someone was to raise the decree to venerate the status of one person to that of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and by doing that, by making a regular man equal to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he becomes a disbeliever, where his blood and his wealth is lawful for the Muslims, then and the two shahadat, the shahadatan, will not benefit him, nor will the salat. Then what about someone who raises Shamsan, one of the dead people that they worship, or Yusuf, another one, or Abdul Qadir al-Jilani, or a Sahabi, or a Prophet, to the level of whom? To the level of Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth. You see, if someone was to raise a man to the status of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's a kafir. What about someone who raises a dead person and he gives him the status of Allah azza wa jalla by supplicating to him and seeking help from him and seeking aid from him? Isn't that the, if that first one is a kafir, then what is this? This one is kafir times 20. This is kafir to the multiple of I don't know what. This is major. This is shirk. This is the shirk that Allah will never forgive if someone dies like that. This is the very shirk of the kuffar. This is the shirk of the Hindus and the Christians and the Buddhists and everybody else in the world. That these statues, these idols are intermediaries or intercessors. They are, you know, they have certain characteristics of God. So we don't believe that they are the creators, but you know, they help us out in our prayer. Same thing. Subhanallah, ma'amad sha'na, kathalika yatba'u Allahu ala qulub alladhina la ya'lamun. Such Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will seal the heart of those who do not know. Where they don't understand this basic thing that you're dealing with, I can see some of you shaking your head. Because it's logical, akhi. It's common sense. But you will speak to some people who will not understand. He will not agree with this. He will not agree with this most basic, fundamental aspect of Islam, that no Muslim can be a Muslim and deny. Some people don't believe this. And he will reject it, refute it, and think that you're extremist. طيب. Another example. ويقال أيضا الذين حرقهم علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه بالنار كلهم يدعون الإسلام وهم من أصحاب علي رضي الله عنه وتعلموا العلم من الصحابة. Those whom Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu burnt. He burnt them in the fire. He built a trench. These were the earlier extremists of the Shia who said that Ali is Ilah. He is Allah. He is al-Ilah al-Haq. He is Allah and Truth. Ali. They gave Ali the status of divinity. They deified him to that which only belongs to Allah. And he placed them in there and he burnt them as punishment for that. This is kufr, what they did. Now the Sahaba were there and they all agreed to that particular action. The only thing that was said was the statement of Ibn Abbas, rahimahullah, he said, it would have been better if he cut off their heads with his sword rather than burnt them, because no one burns with the fire except the Lord of the fire. But Ali radiallahu anhu was following a position that he thought that this was permissible because of the severity of their disbelief. Anyways, this is what they differed about. They did not differ that these people are kuffar and that they deserve to be killed. Now, ironically, these people who were killed through by the fire, they claimed to be Muslims. Not only that, they learned from the Sahaba. They got the knowledge, not from me and you, from the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. This is the source of the knowledge. ولكن اعتقدوا في علي مثل الاعتقاد في يوسف وشمسان وامثالهما. But they believe concerning Ali like the people today believe concerning their dead people in the graves. فكيف اجمع الصحابه على قتلهم وكفرهم. How is it that the Sahaba all unanimously agreed that these people are disbelievers and that they should be killed? اتظنون ان الصحابه يكفرون المسلمين. Do you presume that the Sahaba would consider the Muslims to be kuffar just like that? Hasha. No way. The Sahaba were the most fearful of Allah, the most sensitive in the affair of declaring a Muslim to be a kafir. Rather, they gave the Muslim the ultimate right, as we know from the seerah of the Sahaba as well. أتظنون أن الاعتقاد في تاج وأمثاله لا يضر والاعتقاد في علي بن أبي طالب كفر. Do you believe that assuming that a dead person that these people worship today does not harm, but believing in Ali رضي الله عنه is harmful and kufr? They're the same. Whoever gave him made him an ilah, the one who's worshiping the grave is making the person the grave an ilah. So they wanted the same. ويقال أيضا بنو عبيد القداع الذين ملكوا المغرب والنصر في زمن بني العباس كلهم يشهدون أن لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ويدعون الإسلام ويصلون الجمعة والجماعة. Also بنو عبيد القداع, this was a group of people who took over Morocco and Egypt back at the time of the Abbasids, the era of Muslims. They used to again hear witness that there is none worthy of worship but Allah, Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They used to establish Jumu'ah, pray the Jama'ah in congregation, in the masjid, and everything. فَلَمَّا أَظْهَرُوا مُخَالَفَةَ الشَّرِيعَةِ فِي أَشْيَاءٍ دُونَ مَا نَحْنُ فِيهِ أَسْمَعَ الْعُلَمَاءِ عَلَى كُفْرِهِمْ وَقِتَالِهِمْ. When they presented some disagreement with the deen of Allah, they made some particular remarks concerning the deen of Allah that are lesser than the things that we are dealing with. Not dealing with Tawheed, the ulama at that time, all of them agreed that they are kuffar. They fought against them. And they considered their land to be the land of war. وَغَزَاهُمُ الْمُسْلِمُونَ حَتَّى اسْتَنْضَدُوا مَا بِأَيْدِيهِمْ بِدَى الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And the Muslims performed expeditions against them and they freed the Muslim land from their possession. Again, people who made shahada, but they made particular claims concerning the deen of Allah. One of the things that they said is that it is allowed for a man to marry two sisters at the same time. And we know in the nas of the Quran, in the ayah of the Quran, Allah made it haram for you to combine two sisters at the same time, yani blood sisters. You cannot marry them simultaneously at the same time. So they said, ma fi mushkila, you may marry two sisters at the same time. Although they had everything else intact, once they belied the Quran, just like the other ones, the ulama all agreed that these are non-Muslims. They fought against them and kicked them out and took the Muslim land back from them. Because this is, once Allah says something in the Quran, no believer can be a believer and negate it. You cannot tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala other than what He said. If Allah said something haram, who is anyone to come and say, well, this is halal? And how can he be a believer in Allah, believer in Jannah, Jahannam, and the punishment of Allah, and knowing the severity of change in the deen of Allah, that someone will come and oppose it? He cannot be a believer, logically, I mean Islamically he is a kafir, it's a done deal. Logically, how are you a submitter to Allah when you negate what Allah sent down to you? Are you more knowledgeable than Allah? Are you wiser than Allah? SubhanAllah, this is yani feeble-mindedness. This is crazy for someone to believe that they can do this. Anyways, all these are examples that people were declared shahada, but they negated the things even lesser than Tawheed, or Tawheed, and the Muslims agreed that these people cannot be considered to be Muslims anymore. وَيُقَالُ أَيْضًا إِذَا كَانَ الْأَوَّلُونَ لَمْ يَكْفُرُوا إِلَّا لِأَنَّهُمْ جَمَعُوا بَيْنَ الشِّرْكِ وَتَكْذِيبِ الرَّسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَالْقُرْآنَ وَإِنْكَارِ الْبَعْثِ وَغَيْرِ ذَلِكَ. فَمَا مَعْنَى الْبَابِ الَّذِي ذَكَرَ الْعُلَمَاءُ فِي كُلِّ مَذْهَبٍ بَابُ حُكْمِ الْمُرْتَدِ. You can say as well to this individual, if the contemporaries, the early generations, they did not become disbelievers, except when they committed shirk, and they belied the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they belied the Quran, and they belied resurrection. If this is the only thing that made a person a kafir, yani the only way you're a kafir is by denying all these, then what is the objective of the scholars in the books of madhahib, regardless of the madhahib, Hanafiya or Malikiya or Shafi'iya or Hanbaliya? In each one of these books of fiqh, you'll find there's a chapter called chapter the ruling on the apostate, or ruling on apostasy. What is apostasy? Leaving al-Islam after being part of Muslims, abandoning the deen of Allah, al-murtad, ridda, al-Islam. It's not apostate. The one who does it is an apostate. The act of ridda is apostasy, meaning being a Muslim, then forsaking Islam. Say, I want to become a Hindu, I want to become a Christian, or I don't want to become a Muslim anymore. This, according to Muslims, is a kafir. What did the Prophet Muhammad say concerning him? مَنْ بَدَّلَ دِينَهُ فَاقْتُلُوهُ. Whoever changes his religion, kill him. Take him out. Because the evil that he will leave on earth is great. And we don't need him anymore. This is a bad example. A bad person, and a'udhu billah, he's a living shaitan. He's a human shaitan amongst the people. Someone who abandons Islam, who abandons the truth and salvation after it became clear to him. What do you expect from this individual? So their death is better for humanity than their life. It's mercy from Allah that such person is killed. And this has happened many times among the Muslims in the early generations when someone came with a new aqidah, and the Muslims used to alaqul. They handled business because they implemented the deen of Allah. If now some people may who have been exposed to too much Westernism, okay, too much listening to the West and what they believe is correct. Say, oh, why would you kill someone who changes religion and so on and so forth? Tell them then why do you kill all the innocent people who didn't change anything? Why do you blow up a milk factory? Why do you go to a wedding and you bomb everybody and kill them? Why? What is your problem? So they kill everyone in the name of freedom, right? But when a Muslim has a ruling concerning a kafir, they come and have some criticism. So don't believe these people. The non-Muslims, the Westerners in particular, who try to criticize the rulings of Islam concerning apostasy and the killing of the apostate is nonsense. They do much worse than that. But they call it a different name. They lie, they hide, we Muslims say the truth. That is the point of distinction between us and them. So don't believe them. And don't be shy. And don't lie. Don't lie and say, oh, we don't have that. To make a kafir happy. Oh, no, we don't do that in Islam. Yes, I mean, we do. You either are confident about your religion, or you need to reconsider what you're doing in Islam. There's no gray area in this thing. This is the deen of Allah. Allah sent this from above the seven heavens, knowing what is good for His creation. If someone has a problem, he has a problem. Not the deen of Allah. The deen of Allah has no problem. That person has a problem, Allah will judge him on the day of judgment concerning rejecting what Allah sent down. And no one has the right to do so. So this was the ruling concerning the murtad. وَهُوَ الْمُسْلِمِ الَّذِي يَكْفُرُ بَعْدَ إِسْلَامِ. It is the Muslim who becomes a kafir after being a Muslim. ثُمَّ ذَكَرُوا أَنْوَعًا كَثِيرًا. Then the ulama, the fuqaha, they mentioned many examples of how someone can become a murtad. How can someone apostate from Islam? كُلُّ نَوْعٍ مِنْهَا يُكَفِّرُ وَيُحِلُّ دَمُ الرَّجُلِ دَمَ الرَّجُلِ وَمَالَهُ. Each one of them is sufficient to make the person a disbeliever and make his blood and his wealth lawful. حَتَّى أَنَّهُمْ ذَكَرُوا أَشْيَاءً يَسِيرَةً عِنْدَ مَنْ فَعَلِهَا مِثْلَ كَلِمَةً يَذْكُرُهَا بِلِسَانِهِ دُونَ قَلْبِهِ. Even examples were given by the fuqaha concerning people who may have said something that they didn't really mean it in the heart. Even that, according to some of the fuqaha, he's been a murtad. Of course, there's a discussion about that, not automatically. But they gave examples to that extent, that someone may say something with his tongue, أَوْ كَلِمَةً يَذْكُرُهَا عَلَى وَجْهِ الْمَزْحِ وَاللَّعِبِ. Or someone that will say out of jest, out of joking, or playing around. And you know from the Quran, as we will see later, that mocking the deen of Allah is kufr. And you all know Ghazwat Tabuk and the Munafiqeen who were with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they said, we have not seen any people like our reciters, the reciters of the Quran, which is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions, bigger, with bigger bellies, huh? More hungry and more chicken, huh? More afraid at the time of confrontation with the enemy. And they said that they were only saying this, huh? Just to waste time. The caravan is moving, everybody's on a camel, and these guys are going to have to take it in the back. They're just talking, give it, as they say. So they claimed that they're playing around. The revelation came to the Prophet Muhammad that these people have said that particular statement, right? So when he went and he confronted them, alayhi salatu wasalam, what did they say? They said that we were only joking. Allah says in the Quran, قُلْ أَبِاللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَهْزِئُونَ لَا تَعْتَذِرُوا قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ. Say, is it concerning Allah and His ayat and His messenger that you were mocking and you were playing around with? Do not apologize. You have disbelieved after reading Iman. قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ Listen to the word. قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ You disbelieve after iman. So Allah declared them to be kuffar in the Quran. Because they said that they were only joking. Let alone someone who believes that. Or someone who believes that a dead person can benefit him besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then this person is not joking, this person is serious. And so his shirk is even more grave than this particular shirk. طيب. We will conclude actually now with that, inshallah, since the time is getting more delayed. And we will deal with the Allah Azza wa Jal next week. We're almost finishing the book, by the way. And if all goes well, inshallah, we're still leaning towards the Arba'in al-Nawawiyya, the 40 Nawawi, which is, I'm sure you know, the compilation of 42 narrations by Imam Nawawi rahimahullah, with the sharh, of course, with the explanation, very detailed explanation. That may be beneficial. This is what we have agreed about before. If anyone has other suggestions, then all suggestions are welcome. And if you prefer another book that you think that we Muslims are in need of discussing in English because it's not found in Urdu, not found in Arabic or something along these lines, I mean it's not found in the language that you speak, and you want it in English, then do that. Let me know. And we're always open, inshallah, to discuss what book we will deal with next. This is in the future, inshallah. We're still not done with the book. Next week we'll be dealing with some of the examples of those that I mentioned right now, and more explanation of how to refute the person who claims that the fact that he says the shahada and the salah, he can never be a kafir anymore. He can never be compared to the mushrik of Quraysh because they belied and they accept. And we've been proving that, listen, that's not enough. Because we have other examples of people who also did shahada, did salah, and they still considered to be kuffar because of other things that they did which nullified their iman. So this